gathered here this day. We meet to praise your name and to feel your presence, Lord. This is our faith. And we know without you, we're nothing. We pray that your mercy extends upon all those whom we love, our people, wherever they are, those unfortunate and those honest in heart. We pray that in your mercy and in the promises that we place our faith, that as we meet in your name and be blessed by your presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that our brother is affected by your Holy Spirit and your power, in that as he delivers those things that's upon his heart, that they find a place in our hearts, that we too can understand greater things and give you the praise and glory forever. Amen.
Isn't that amazing? He did not call me Mike. His eyes are failing. I am not young, so but I appreciate the comment. Is that on?
Yes.
Okay. Appreciate being here. Haven't been here in a while, and going to speak something that is dear to my heart. Hope it is dear to your heart after I get through presenting it. I especially like messages from men in the gospel and past, and I like their insayings, the times when they know they're not going to be around long, and I think they're, I'm not going to say more meaningful. Yeah, I'm going to say they're more meaningful because they have a sense of urgency. And not a sense of desperation, but a sense of urgency, you know, whether it be King Benjamin or whomever. And so I appreciate that. And it, you know, I sense it in when I read the scriptures. I sense when they are presenting something because they know it may be the last time that they're going to present it, or to the general church. I think of Peter and his letters to the general church, and most especially when he's talking about the end times and what's going to happen, and tells us what kind of people we should be. You know, he tells us we're to be, if we're looking for that time, we're to be in peace and without spot, and we're supposed to be blameless. And to me, if you can pick a most important one, it's blameless. And it has nothing to do, or it has some to do, but not generally keeping commandments of God, but blameless as we live our lives and what we're to do specifically with and for other people. And that will be what will keep us blameless. I had the privilege of teaching a Sunday school class. Used to be Frank Fan's Sunday school class, and I've taught it now for 6 months, 8 months, and the Lord has blessed me. I don't know whether he's blessed the class, but he has blessed me in our studies, and we've been studying the Gospels, and we started out in Matthew, and went through Matthew and made a comparison with the others, or attempted to. The other Gospels, rather difficult, what was contained in one and not in the other, and so forth and so on. And but we just ended up just going through Matthew. And we're in John now. We skipped the rest. We went to John. Not my choice. That's what the class decided. But I was studying and for weeks. And we got to one of those times, and it's Christ, and it's towards the end of his ministry. He's already entered into Jerusalem for the last time, and he is came out of the temple. He went up onto Mount of Olives, and And his disciples came and asked him questions about the end times and what was going to happen, what was it going to be like, and what was the signs of his coming. We know what he said in the 24th chapter of the signs that are going to come about, and we're aware of it. I hope we're aware of it. Well, I know you're aware of it. And we can see that these things are, I hope, are transpiring in our lifetime. And, you know, he's addressing his disciples, but it's not for his disciples. He knows that they're not going to be around when this happens. You know, they're going to be gone. He is addressing us, and specifically his church. His disciples ask him, this is for his church. And after he presents in the 24th chapter of what's going to transpire, he same event, he's in the 25th, and he goes to parables. Goodness gracious, I love parables. I mean, I think the Lord can say or have said so much in so few words through those parables, and it's amazing. And as I was reading in this 25th chapter, it came to me. It came to me what he was saying. Maybe for the first time in my life. And I probably read this chapter 100 times. And he is addressing his church, and he is addressing different elements of his church. I'm going to start at the beginning of the 25th chapter, a parable, and you all know this. Might help, probably will help, if you open your Bibles and follow along so I don't make mistakes, and see if you agree. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now, I firmly believe that those 10 virgins are the Church of Christ. They're ones that have had their blood washed, or their sins washed away, and they are pure and clean, specifically to us in the church. And they had lamps. You know, they had lamps to light, and as we do. Verse 2, and five of them were wise, and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Over the years, I've heard I've heard many ministry and people in the Church of Christ give their idea of what the oil is. I've heard faith. I've heard lots of different things. But I look at that, and I look back to the scripture that tells the fifth chapter of Matthew tells us we're to be a light unto the world, we're to have the lamps. And what is the oil but to light the lamp? So what is the oil? Don't believe it's faith. Don't believe it's faith. It is, well, I believe, no, don't believe it's righteousness. I think it's the love of Jesus Christ manifested to those that are in the world through those lamps. I know that's what it is. I know that's what it is. It's that which motivates us to light a light, not because it's an obligation, not because it is required. It is what really motivates us deep inside. And that's the love of Jesus Christ manifested to those in the world. And if we do not have that love for those that are out in the world in which we're attempting to light our light, well, I'll tell you it tells us what's going to happen. It tells us exactly what's going to happen. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, and while the bridegroom tarrieth, they all slumbered and slept, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're waiting for the second coming of the Lord. And we're not always good. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not always good while I'm waiting for the Lord to come again. Sometimes I am not so good. Sometimes I'm okay. But so I slumber and I sleep. And most everyone, I'm not going to say everyone in the Church of Christ, but most everyone does this. And we fall short. So it says both the wise and the foolish. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all the virgins rose, as we would all do. We would go. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." That which lights the light, there wasn't enough to light the way anymore. But the wives answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Go out to the world, which you should have been doing all this time, to make the love of Jesus Christ manifest in your life. Go to the world. That's the oil. Go back. We're not going to have enough. We can't do it for you. If you haven't done it in this length of time, we can't do it. We can't give you we can't earn your salvation, is what they're saying. So you go and do what you should have been doing. And while they went to buy, when they went out to do what they should have been doing, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgin, the foolish virgins, and saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he answered and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." And I think that wording is important. You notice he didn't say, "I never knew you." He said, "I don't know you now. I don't recognize you." There was a time when we entered, and you think about when you were baptized. Think about when you received that within yourselves and you knew, whoa, was there anything more exciting? Was you not ready to go out and convert the world and share the love that you had built up in your heart? Isn't that the way it was? Well, that's what he's saying here. There was a time I knew you. There was a time I knew you. Now I don't recognize you. He's not going to recognize us by our face. He's going to recognize us by the love of Jesus Christ that resides in our heart, by the Spirit in which we carry. It's more than the Spirit in which we carry. It's the love of Jesus Christ manifested towards others. That is exactly what our calling is. Our calling is no less than that. That's what to be blameless is. You know, you and I can live in peace. And I have no doubt, in my life that you are not troublemakers when you go out in the world. You are not ready to cause problems for anybody. You live peaceably. You have those pleasant words. You have those kind actions to others. And I have no doubt in my mind that those commandments that you receive in your heart, you keep. Both those that are written and those that are made known to you through that Holy Ghost that you received, and you keep them. But I tell you, the last one, blameless, is how we affect and how we affect others through the love of Jesus Christ that dwells in us. It is nothing less than that. It is not good enough to keep ourselves unspotted in this world. It is absolutely not the work of Jesus Christ. He says, I know you not. I don't recognize you. And the door was shut. Yeah. The scriptures tell us that there's few. There is but few. And I don't know what's going to, when that happens, I don't know what's going to constitute the church. You know, I don't know who's going to still be in the church and who's not going to be in the church. Moving on. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And I firmly believe that is meant for his church. His general church. And I tell you what I think, and I firmly believe with all my heart that this next parable is meant for his ministry. Specifically, the ministry in the Church of Christ. I'm going to tell you why, but I'm going to read it, and I believe it's important. I believe it's more than important. I believe it's urgent. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. That's Jesus Christ. Okay? And he is where? Not here. Not at the temple lot. Not wherever it is nice and easy to be. He is in a far country. Okay? Look at what Christ did. He never went back to Nazareth, did he? He went there once, and he skirted around it from then on. He was busy, and it was in a far country. He was everywhere, and he continued everywhere. And I believe that's for his ministry also. Who called what? Didn't call servants, did he? He called his own servants. That's ministry. That is ministry. And you know, I've read that over and over and over again. And I never realized it. I never, ever realized that. But it is talking to his ministry in his church. I don't, you know, we've got a few ministers here. But this is, I want you all to listen. But this is to us. This is to us. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, and every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And you can look at the ministry in the Church of Christ, and some are very talented, and some of us barely have 1 talent. You know, it's just the way it is. And some of us, some of your ministry are excellent preachers and have a lot of talents that they really use well. Some are not. But we all have a work, and the Lord knows exactly how to distribute these talents. And so he did. And he gave 5 talents to another 2 and to another 1, and every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made other 5 talents. Now, I think he's talking. You know, I don't think he's developing other talents like preaching. I think he's, with those talents, he is converting people. He went out into a far country, and I think that's important because it is a condemnation to me. Because I'm not good at that. I'm not good at that. I don't hardly do that. I don't hardly do that. Went and made 5 other talents. Likewise, he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, I think, I firmly believe, that as talking to a percentage of us in the Church of Christ ministry that are very comfortable with what we do. You know? I preach in the East Local, and I teach Sunday school. Why? It's easy. You know? It's easy to do that with your own. But I think he's talking. I think I fall into that category. I think that there are too many of us in the ministry that fall in that category. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoned with them, and so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides 5 more. And his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And also he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now verse 24. And it is a condemning verse to some of us in your ministry. Then he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. What's he saying? I know the way the work is to be. I know what I am supposed to be doing. I know that I am supposed to go out and sow now that I am your ministry and a member of the body of Jesus Christ. I know it. And I know that you're not here to do it. I know that that responsibility falls upon me to follow you and the example that you had set. And what did he say? And I was afraid. I was afraid. And I went and hid my talent in the East Local. Went and hid that talent that you gave me, not my talent, but that talent that you gave me, and I hid it where it was easy because I was afraid. You know what it is to be afraid? I've been afraid as a minister of Jesus Christ. No faith. No faith. I can't do this. I can't do this. I was afraid and went, hid my talent in the earth, and lo, there thou hast that is thine. Well, goodness gracious. Most of the 99% of the people in the East Local are baptized. You know? They're baptized. I hid it in the earth. You have called me to carry this to a far country to share what? Jesus Christ. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have was not sowed, and I gather where thou hast not struck. There's no excuse. You knew. You knew your work. You knew what you're supposed to be doing. I know that you know. You know? You've confessed it to me. Thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the exchangers, and then at thy coming should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath been given shall be given, and him that hath an abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast thee the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. both us. I mean, it's there. This is what the Lord is saying. I believe this is an admonition to his general church and to his ministry. To be blameless when I come. We can... Now, I'm going to tell you a pet peeve I have. We, from time to time in our Sunday school or up here in our discussions, maybe from a sermon, from the pulpit, we preach and we talk about other churches. And it appears to me, and more than me, that we're attempting to make ourselves look better by comparing ourselves to another church or another people or whomever. And I'm sorry, we can't do that and be effective. We can't compare ourselves to the world. And, you know, we had a discussion about the world where it's going, and yes, it is. And yes, compared to the world, we're pretty good. Compared to Jesus Christ, what are we? Rags. And the only thing that will make these rags that you and I carry a robe is doing exactly what is described in these two talents. It is the only thing. It is exactly what Jesus Christ did. And we are now his body to do exactly what he did. Not keep ourselves unspotted and keep ourselves, yes, we're to do that and live peace, but blameless. I don't want anyone in this room to be on that side with the foolish virgins or our ministry in any part. To be with that person who, that servant, his servant, that had one talent and was afraid. You know, we can, and my goodness gracious, there's some marvelous works that I thought, I haven't been in the church. I've been coming to church 43 years, a year before we got married. She went away. Mother-in-law would let me see my wife 7 days a week as if I came to church. So I came to church, you know. We can look and say, oh, isn't it marvelous? It is marvelous what is happening in the church and overseas and so forth. And yes, I wish everybody could go to the Philippines. That's the only place I've been, but I know Africa is just exactly like it. Wish everybody in the Church of Christ could go there and see what has happened and is happening. And yes, they have blessed brothers who were not afraid to do that. And yes, it's not because of them. It's partially because of them, but they know it's because of the Lord and the people that are there and preparation that went before them. But what is sad is here in the United States, isn't it? When this work to the world basically started 10 years ago, and the membership that started 10 years ago in the world is something like 4 or 5 times what the membership is in the United States. What's wrong? Is it something with the Lord? Or is it something wrong with his church and his ministry? Guess what? There's nothing wrong with the Lord. There never has been, there never will be. How many of you remember the comic strip Pogo? Goodness gracious. Okay. You're too young. Too young. The comic strip, Pogo. Nobody. That's, well, there you go. I read the Kansas City Star ever since I was this tall. So that's, it was a syndicated comic strip. And it's about a little possum and his swamp friends. And there is a statement that he made. And he said, in it, he says, "We have met the enemy and he is us." You know? And you've probably heard that. That came from Pogo. Okay? That's where it came from. And that is exactly, it's not the Lord, it's us. It is us. I'm going to read one more parable. Deals with the same subject. Believe I need to preach this. I don't believe I need to preach repentance and faith. I believe you've all repented, have faith, you've been baptized. You know, just what it says in Hebrews, in that latter part of that fifth and that sixth chapter. You know, we should be on that, be beyond that. We should be what I'm preaching about and where I'm preaching about. Luke, the 15th chapter, starting with the 11th verse. The 15th chapter of Luke, the 11th verse. Through the end of the chapter. And he said, a certain man had two sons, or 12 sons, or how many ever. He had sons and daughters, the man being Jesus Christ. And the younger of them said unto his father, "Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. Didn't say to the youngest one, did it? He divided his living. What he has to give. What is the best. Here it says, mine says, his estate. Well, what is it that you receive from the Lord that is best? His Spirit and his love. And he divides it amongst us in his church. Or whoever has received Jesus Christ, whether it be in this church or not, there's pure in heart. There is pure in heart. All over. So he divided it. And he gave it. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He didn't take the love of Jesus Christ or his Spirit and purchase this riotous living. This love of Jesus Christ and this Spirit began to diminish because of his riotous living. And it's exactly what can and does happen to us. I've received it. You have received it. His Spirit and his love within you. Now, we can either retain it or we can lose it. This younger one is losing it. And when he had spent all that Spirit, all that was good, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. There's always a famine in the land. You know, there is definitely something missing in the world and what it has to offer. You can call it a famine. You can see, we were talking about rich athletes and whatever, but they're looking for something, aren't they? I mean, they're really looking for something. And the wealthy that want to get wealthier and wealthier and wealthier, they're looking for something. But there's a famine of what's important in the land. So there began, after his Spirit was gone. Am I talking too fast? My wife will tell me if I'm talking too fast. Zerna, tell me if I'm talking too fast. Okay. And she also goes like this when it's time to quit. So, you know. So there began to be a famine in the land, and he began to realize there's something wrong in my life. I am in need. I am in want. So what did he do? He went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. He continued to look for what was missing. And this citizen of the country, he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. You know, just out in the world doing worldly things. And he would fain, having filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. He was of the world. He was eating pig slop, is what it says. He was just eating stuff that is not worth anything. And no man gave unto him. Why? Because no man has it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that gives it and has it. And when he came to himself, voila, you know, he realized what was missing, and guess what? He knew where to get it. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?" Even anybody that's within the Lord has more than I have. They have what I'm looking for. They have what I have thrown away in my life. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." He's making a plan, and a good plan. He is repenting. He is seeing how he can repent. This isn't just going praying to the Lord saying, "Okay, you know," just seeing what he's done and making amends in the right way. And he's going to say, "I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one as thy hired servants. Please, please take me back. Please give me of that which I desire," and that's your love and your spirit. Please. And he's making this in his mind of what is required to receive that which he's lost. And he arose and he came to his father. Man, I love this. I adore this. He arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That is it's that quick. All it takes is that, and he is ready and willing to forgive. We just begin to make that effort. And you know, he saw him from afar off and did this. He didn't wait for him to come and grovel at his feet and say, "Yes, I've done wrong, Lord. Yes, I haven't done this. Yes, I have wasted this that you gave me." No, he didn't. Looked within his heart, saw that he was repentant, truly repentant, and that was enough. You know? And he kissed him on the neck, and the son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son." And he didn't say, "Yes, you did." Did he? No, he didn't. What did he say? Didn't even answer it. He knew his heart. And the father turned and said to his servant, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. Rightfully so. Lost sheep, and we know what the scriptures say about that one lost sheep. Now I probably fall and would kind of commiserate with this eldest son, you know. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He went, what is going on? You know, why aren't you with us rejoicing? And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured his living with the harlots, thou hast killed the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Who did he give his portion of the goods to? Both of them. Both of them. They both had his spirit and that love within them. One wasted it. The other didn't recognize what he had. Didn't recognize that the joy did not lie in the fatted calf. The joy, the absolute joy, came from doing the work of the Lord, which he was given the ability to through that love and through his spirit. So he didn't know it. He didn't even know it. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. That's the message I want to leave with this Church of Christ. This is the message that I want to leave with the body, of Jesus Christ. That we are called to a higher purpose. We are called for a work. We are equipped. We are equipped with that work. He has given us to us. And then he has called us. Whether we be lay members, that sounded horrible, lay members. Whether we be lay members or whether we be ministry, we're given pretty much the same work to do. Pretty much the same, just one with more different responsibility. It's the only way, in preparation for his second coming, that we're going to be blameless. It's the only way we're going to be blameless. And if we're not blameless, we don't have charity, he's not going to know us, as he didn't recognize those five foolish virgins. We know it. I hope we know it better. As the father told that second, the eldest son, you got it. All that I ever had, it's yours. It's yours. But it's yours to use. And in that comes joy. Those of you who have done this, those of the ministry who have touched someone and know that they have been brought to the Lord, there is nothing that the world can offer that is better than that. And it says so in the Scriptures. It says so in the Scriptures. 15th chapter of John. Okay. We'll look it up later. That is, I've talked too long. Appreciate you, your time. Appreciate your attention. You were very quiet. This is not like the East Local. So, thank you.
Where the world is going with those changes. We don't want to be a part of that. We sang, O Lord of Light, joyful life might be if in thy service every hour we lived and moved with thee. That's where we're going to have to be in this world. Because here we are. When we leave here, we're in this world. Now, do we partake of what it offers? Sometimes we do. And that's when we fail. Should we? No, of course not. But we have to be in the service of God every hour that we live and move with Him. What does that mean? I think that means the Holy Spirit. That we're paying attention to that. But the second verse said, 'Tis ne'er too late while life shall last, a new life to begin. 'Tis ne'er too late to leave the past and break with self and sin.' Why self? Because sin is selfish. We have to leave that behind. But it's never too late to change according to what God would have us to change. This is the faith on which we're built. The doctrine that I read to you out of the Book of Mormon is the doctrine of the one and true Christ. And it is what we must stand upon. It is what we must raise our Ebenezer and our standard. It must say Christ, and we must stand by it in every moment of every day. In my foolishness, in my preaching, I say that because it's the truth. I don't say it because I'm perfect. Because we're going to endure to the end together. And we're going to meet together often. And we're going to help each other out. As we have helped others before and maybe each other out before. Because it's what we're supposed to do. And without it, there is no hope. And we must have that hope. And we must be strong. I can't predict for you what our federal government's going to do next. But is our federal government the enemy? No. Satan is. And he's got his nails, claws, fingers, whatever you want to call them, in everything that he can. He is our enemy. And he is God's enemy. And our faith is to be opposed to him, Satan. And to be a supporter of the name on the Ebenezer that we've raised, and to be strong in service to him. I feel as though I've exhausted what I should say. So you take with you those things and consider them. Pray for me. And I ask that. And I pray for you. Because we can still be together in spirit across the miles, meeting together oft, there we go. Meeting together oft in prayer at the feet of our Savior, at the feet of our God. Okay, I'll say this too. I haven't shared this here, but it's exactly what I'm talking about. And my family will just have to be patient with me. We went down to Houston. And there's a church member there, Julia Bryan, that I think some of you know. And I think maybe she's... Have you met Julia Bryan? Maybe you haven't. And you know what? That's all the better for what I'm about to say. In that terms, anyway. But we had heard she was a new member of the Houston Local in Warrensburg. And then we heard shortly after that that she was in the hospital in Lee's Summit and was very ill. And I don't even remember what it was, but it was pretty severe. And so we prayed for her. There was a request for prayers, so we prayed for her. And then lately, over Christmas time, after Christmas, just this past Christmas, we were down in Houston, and I met her for the first time. And she thanked me and basically the Warrensburg people